Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
Do you think your child's spending too much time gaming online? Or do you second guess yourself and wonder if your discomfort's just a generational thing and there's probably no harm? Well, welcome to Family Life's Inside Out, where we're asking those questions. I'm Martha Menikas Foster, and my guest is Melanie Hempe, author, podcaster, retired RN, and founder of Screen Strong. Screen Strong is a national nonprofit that works with families to eliminate childhood dependence on screens. You can find it at screenstrong.org. Well, welcome, Melanie, to Inside Out.
Thank you so much, Martha, for having me.
You know, Melanie, you've developed educational courses for parents on the impact of screens on developing brains, but we only have a short amount of time, so let's see if we can break this all down to a few small bites. I know that your family story includes the toxicity of screen time, specifically video gaming time. So what do you say to people who believe that video games are no big deal?
Well, they have never lived with a gamer. They think it's no big deal because they are a big deal. And the first thing is they structurally will change the brain and increase the dopamine in your kid's brain. And this sets your child up for addiction now and in the future. The second thing is they displace time needed for proper development of social skills, life skills, and healthy, you know, non-addictive hobbies. So our kids are getting stuck in this immaturity, and they have a hard time catching up developmentally. We don't mean to, but we are putting them at a disadvantage when gaming is their number one go-to hobby.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, Martha, the third thing, the thing that makes it such a big deal is that screens and especially video games will detach our kids from their families. So it's the saddest, most lasting part of the story. The game becomes their family and you lose your kids. And that's what a lot of families are struggling with today.
That's alarming. So let me just reset the table here for people just joining us. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Inside Out on Family Life. I'm talking today with Melanie Hempe, founder of the national nonprofit Screen Strong. So Melanie, what does screen time do to the developing brain? You've mentioned this. And what ages are we talking about when we talk about the developing brain? And one more thing, is it true of all screen time or just certain kinds of screen time?
So great question. So not all screens are created equal, and kids usually don't have meltdowns if you take their homework away, like their PowerPoint, right?
Yeah.
But toxic screens like video games, social media, gambling, pornography, all those change the brain, especially during childhood and adolescent years before the brain is fully connected. And so there's three things that happen. The first change is chemical. When your child is on a game or social media or pornography, dopamine is released in very high amounts over the normal baseline amount. So the baseline levels include, you know, natural rewards like eating and hitting a baseball and reading a good book, solving a Rubik's Cube, all these things. Even going out in nature gives us a lot of dopamine. And dopamine is really good and it's necessary for survival. But when it's released continuously in high amounts over normal healthy amounts, it is detrimental. So parents don't realize that dopamine is dopamine, regardless whether it comes from cocaine or alcohol or porn or gaming. It's all the same biochemically. Dopamine from gaming can be higher on a scale even than the dopamine you get from sex or cocaine. And I use the term drunk on dopamine a lot in my in my talks because that's what's happening to our kids. They're getting too much dopamine, and that's what causes the addiction. The common denominator in all addictions is dopamine. And then you've got other chemicals that are releasing in the brain, the adrenaline and the cortisol, when that fight flight center is triggered in a violent game. And those chemicals cause your child to be stressed and anxious. So, you know, you feel good as a kid. You're feeling great when you're playing, but it's also extremely stressful, and that chronic stress wreaks havoc on their brain. And the second change that's happening in their brain is this: their neuronal structure, the neurons are changing. So MRIs are showing us that over time, the structure changes with increased screen time. Areas of the brain that are not being used get pruned away during childhood, and areas that are being used the most get strengthened. So with gaming, the reward pathway gets strengthened and the frontal cortex gets weaker. And this is shown on MRIs through the NIH studies that are being done right now. And it will change their personalities and it will change their habits. It will change who they become in their adult years. And then that third change that happens in their brain is this emotional thing that happens, because once the dopamine goes really high, it has to come down.
Yeah.
So the brain is constantly seeking that balance. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is the child gets off their game, the dopamine goes down, and now the child is depressed. And we've all seen this. If we have gamers in our house, they have to go get their fix again. They have to play more to get that high dopamine. But what happens is this adaptation starts to happen in the brain. And so now your child has to have more gaming in order to satisfy that craving. And hence that cycle, really starts that addiction cycle. And and then the other thing, kids just get really mad at their parents and there's all this conflict, and that's what happened in our home. And there was a lot of emotional issues that come with that. When you add the chronic stress of the game, that's also causing more and more anxiety. So the mental health issues are huge. And really, just to sum it up, that we are allowing our kids' brains to be conditioned to a highly addictive activity far beyond the natural baseline dopamine that should be our goal. Instead, we're setting them up for addiction. It's more serious than parents realize. And it starts off really small with these little gateway games, and then it grows because, all drug dealers give free samples, right?
Yeah.
And, the tech execs out there, Martha, they are not giving their kids these entertainment screens because they know this science.
Yeah. That's absolutely revealing, isn't it? Yeah. So you've alluded to this, but how can you know if a family member is addicted to screens? And you have already alluded to this too, that video games, they seem to be more addictive than some other online activities.
Yeah. So the warning signs for video game addiction are similar to every other addiction, because all addiction is fundamentally the same. And we cannot be afraid to use this word addiction with video games. First of all, the use is increasing over time.
Okay.
It now is becoming your child's number one activity. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
The second warning sign is that there's a meltdown when they're forced to unplug, and it's just hard to cut back on use. The third sign is that they may be lying to use it more. They're lying about their time. They're lying about what they're doing, and they are denying that they have a problem.
Uh-huh.
And the fourth thing is they're sacrificing their social, their normal sporting activities they do and their grades to be on their screen more. And then they use screen time to escape from life problems and pain. And, that's very common with any addiction. And then I think the worst thing, the final thing, is that they're sacrificing relationships, and you're having a breakdown in your relationship with your child. There's this negative effect on the family, their friends, their school, their job. Maybe they have a job. So the problem is that kids who want it the most are usually the kids who need it the least.
Huh. And interesting. Yeah.
That's the way it works. And video games are more addictive than other online activities. Now, social media is right up there with video games, but I'm talking about things like PowerPoint and Excel and doing a Word doc or answering your email. Those do not produce the same levels of dopamine. They're not designed like that by the attention engineers to do that. So you can tell how high the dopamine is that they're getting by how big the meltdown is.
Oh my.
When they have to get off. So if you're wondering if your child fits into this category, if they have a take it or leave it attitude, they're probably okay. But if they're becoming obsessed, then they're probably not okay.
As a side note, I'd never heard the phrase attention engineers. I mean, I understand that people do this, but the very fact that there's actually
they have a label.
Name for it. Yes, that is almost startling to me. You've also kind of referenced our kids need to use screens. The less exciting ones are the ones that they need, right? In order to do schoolwork, in order to communicate, even about youth group, they need some time online. So what do you advise families to do to prevent addiction if you can't just say you cannot be on a screen ever? And what do you advise for them to do to intervene if they can tell now that somebody's already addicted?
Yeah, well, we certainly are not a screen-free organization. We believe that there's a lot of great things that technology, can do, of course. But when you start your screen journey, when you're talking about the kind of screens that kids want to use, because trust me, they are not begging you to do their homework on, their PowerPoint, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about toxic screens that are toxic, the uses, the video games, social media, and pornography are the three that we talk about. So when you start your screen journey, you think that if adults need smartphones, then kids need smartphones. We treat our kids like adults in our culture, and this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
you think that removing access to certain screens is denying your child and they'll be left out and they'll hate you and all that, and all this is mandatory.
Sure,
but
right.
When you get more educated, okay, with the science, you start to realize that this is not mandatory, that we do have to parse it out. We have to say, okay, this is okay, but this is not okay. You can't put it all in the same bucket. So when you realize this, it's not mandatory, you are not denying or taking away anything. You are giving them a much bigger life and the freedom to love childhood again, to experience all the good things that they should be experiencing in childhood and producing that natural amount of dopamine they should be getting and connecting to your family on a level that isn't possible when they're addicted to their toxic screens.
Mm-hmm.
You get your kids back and they love you for loving them so much to choosing this countercultural path. So the bonus is that you are not setting them up for addiction down the road either. So how do you do this? Well,
right.
We know that the prevention of any addiction is 100% always about removing the access. So that's true for screens as well. It's true for video games, social media, and porn. Not all screens. We're not saying throw the laptops out. We
right.
know they have to do their homework, but they are not getting addicted to that. Because scientifically, the human brain can't resist temptation for a long period of time. People with the most willpower are the ones who stay the furthest away from the temptation. It's like the law of gravity, and your kid is not immune to this, right? They're gonna fall into the trap. So the first thing we like to do is educate parents, and we have a wonderful parent course that does this, and we have a student course coming out this summer. They'll be awesome. And then to start a small group. So change doesn't happen outside community. No child needs a smartphone or a video game. It's just not a rite of passage that's necessary. They can have a basic phone,
right.
which is a talk text phone, and that takes care of everything they need. So there's a huge movement toward that basic phone again. A talk text phone is all they need.
Uh-huh.
So our site has some phone recommendations over there. The next thing is that children, of course, do not need to use pornography, right? I think we can all agree.
Yes, I hope so.
I hope we can all agree.
Yeah.
But 100% of kids with smartphones will view pornography, 100%.
100%.
It's not possible to keep, if they're on the internet, no matter what they're doing, it will find them. Remember, pornography is chasing our kids.
Right.
So our kids do not need the internet in their pocket 24/7, period. They can do their homework. You know, they can do their laptop homework. They can close the lid and then go outside and play. You prevent screen addiction by delaying access. Do not buy the lie that your child is more mature than all other kids.
Yes.
Or that they can handle it, or they're going to hate you if you don't let them, yada, yada, yada. That's just not true. That's how we help families prevent screen addiction. Well, you have to remove the toxic pieces of it. And at Screen Strong, we have figured it out, and we have a 30-day detox that you can look into, because you may be saying, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do
right.
now? Do I get my kid off? And the good news is that you can. It does take 30 days. Science proves this over and over to reset that dopamine receptor area in their brain. You have to have at least 30 days off, and we're going to show you how to do that. We have a wonderful community in our forum on our website. We also have the Screen Strong Families podcast where we help families every week, and our Facebook group where we help families every week get through it. And we are seeing so much success.
Mm.
So I just want to encourage everyone that you're not at the end of the road, but boy, you've got to look at those warning signs and you've got to take action, because it will get worse.
Mm-hmm. But there's hope.
There is hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this has been wonderful talking with you. It's been revelatory. I have learned so much. Thank you, Melanie, for joining me here today on Family Life's Inside Out.
Thank you, Martha, so much for having me.
My guest has been Melanie Hempe, founder of Screen Strong, which works to help families choose healthy activities for their children in place of screen time. You can find Melanie's Gospel Coalition article, the one that inspired this conversation, by going to thegospelcoalition.org. You can also connect to Screen Strong resources at screenstrong.org. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.
Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.